All right, it's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. So Jeffrey Bear is back with the second season of his Great Chicago Quiz Show, premiering on Thursday, April 21st. In 6 weekly half-hour episodes, Jeffrey will test contestants and viewers to discover just how much they really know about Chicago food, sports, geography, business, historical figures, events, and more. Local celebrities such as musician Kurt Elling and legendary broadcaster Bill Curtis will also appear as contestants. And local radio host Dave Plyer will appear on the third season of the popular series. And I'm reading it right here in the press release, Jeffrey, so don't disappoint America. We're doing this.
Oh, I don't know how we could do it without you, Dave.
To talk about it all is 7-time Emmy award-winning public television writer, producer, and program host, Mr. Chicago Jeffrey Bear. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I am thrilled we are talking about this show because it is so much fun, and I always learn so much. I love that first season.
Well, thank you. And I mean, I guess that's the goal, is to have our viewers learn something while having fun.
Yeah.
You know, we try to make it fun.
Yeah. What originally brought this idea to the small screen? Because you've been talking about Chicago history for so long. Well, how did you decide to turn it into a quiz show?
Well, you know, part of the inspiration, and I can't believe we're, you know, this is season two and we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
But the pandemic was sort of part of the inspiration, because we realized, you know, we want to do another TV show this year, and getting out into the field and particularly inside people's homes and interviewing them would be risky. So we came up with this kind of crazy way of doing a quiz show where I'm in the studio and our contestants are all competing virtually, not on Zoom, but on, you know, another kind of virtual platform. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, kept the social distance going. And it just turned out to be kind of great because, I mean, in a weird way, and I think people are experiencing this all over with the way we've gone virtual, is it kind of widens your scope. Because, you know, we can be everywhere without having to travel for hours, you know, so one contestant can be in, you know, Lisle, Illinois, and another contestant can be in Waukegan, and another one can be in Northwest Indiana, and they're all on the same show in real time. And you kind of, so we've actually extended our reach into the community a little more by virtue of being virtual. And in fact, several of these contestants aren't even in Chicago. Scott Simon from NPR competes from Washington, D.C. We have this wonderful comic who started at Second City, but he's now in L.A. and he competes from L.A. So, you know, it kind of worked out pretty well.
So if you ever want to be a contestant, because I'm sure there'll be another season of this because I'm so enjoying the show, like, oh, you know, what do you do? Do they write you a check? is there an audition process?
Small unmarked bills usually is a good idea.
Right.
Well, what we did this time, and actually what we did last season, too, was we put out a call for contestants to send us little audition videos.
Oh.
Now, everybody's got, you know, these days, most people have a phone. And people were so creative. They created these little 30-second videos of themselves saying why they wanted to be on the show and some creative idea about what would get our attention. And so that was terrific. And one of the people who helps me this year on camera with asking the question, sort of a co-host, is this Chicago TikTok historian, Sherman Dilla Thomas. And he was a contestant last year. He sent this great video of himself sitting in his car with he's got long braids and tattoos and says he's the most Chicago guy you'll ever know. His dad was a cop. He lives in a bungalow. He works for ComEd. And he has just taken off on TikTok doing these history videos for his kids because his kids are on TikTok. And but I'd like to think that we kind of gave him his start on our show last year. And this year he asks one question per show of our contestants.
And I know they were going to face questions and we won't give them the answers. Like, do you know which Chicagoan was America's first black female millionaire? Which animals were the first residents of the Lincoln Park Zoo? Which I think I tested you on that one last time.
You might have.
What street is called the Mexican Magnificent Mile? And if the Chicago Water Tower was really the model for White Castle hamburger stands? I like that one. Are we talking about the parapet octagonal buttresses and the crenellated towers? Is that what we're talking about?
You're throwing like every architectural term you know out there.
Yeah, all
like maybe he'll think I know something about architecture if I get crenellation is good, buttress not so sure.
Okay, all right. Now I just my own White Castle knowledge here is there's only 377 of those. Like you think about McDonald's has like I think 37,000 restaurants in the world, and they only have 377 because they're family.
Small batch, artisanal.
Yeah, well, they're family owned. They refuse to take on debt. They don't want to franchise to anybody. And I think the largest containment of White Castles is in Illinois, which is pretty crazy.
Well, there you go. So you know some trivia I don't know.
I'm not coming empty-handed to this, you know. And there's a there's a companion website to this too, right?
There is, and on that website, we have more trivia questions. So if you didn't get to be a contestant on the show, at least this season, you can play the trivia quiz on our website. And the other thing we have on there, which I love, is profiles of all of the contestants from this season, and they talk about what they love about Chicago and, you know, just give some insight into their own lives and interests. And it just makes you fall in love with all of them again. That's a really, really great feature of the website.
All right, we're going to do what we always do, and we're going to try a quiz right here with Jeffrey Bear, Mr. Chicago, host of the Great Chicago Quiz Show, debuting next week. And there's more with him next here on 720 WGN. Day Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking to Jeffrey Bear about the Great Chicago Quiz Show, debuting next week on WTTW. So we usually do a little test. We both do very well. I think we stump each other. We've stumped each other once or twice.
At least, and that's my goal this time around, is to stump you thoroughly.
I know. I did not get stumped enough last time. All right, we're going to start the music, and there we go. It's, of course, from everybody's favorite game show, Match Game. So here we go. All right, do you want to start? Why don't you kick it off?
Okay, here we go. First trivia question, and spoiler alert, I'm not going to give you questions in that are in the show on WTTW okay. that's right. coming up, except for this one. This okay. is a question that's actually okay. in the show.
Okay, all right.
So in June of 1954, a freak disaster killed multiple people on the lakefront near Montrose Harbor. What was it? A, an earthquake that collapsed the seawall. B, a tidal wave. C, a toxic algae bloom. Or D, a giant cargo ship that ran aground.
It was the wave. It was a killer wave.
Oh, boy. How do you just, you know everything, man.
Well, I don't. That one, I knew for some reason. Look, I have to do a little homework before you come on the show. Because I know, like, I'm looking, like, rare Chicago facts. Like, mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was a killer
wave. It's a terrible story, and I don't want to make light of it. But 1954, June, it's a thing called a seiche. And it's a freak weather phenomenon where you get a high pressure system on one side of the lake that's not on the other. So this high pressure system sort of pushed a huge amount of water in the lake eastward toward Indiana. And, well, you know, a lake is more self-contained than an ocean. It's kind of like a bathtub. So if the water sloshes in one direction, it has to slosh back in the other direction. So a few hours later, bright sunny skies, this giant wave came sloshing back from Indiana and overwhelmed the lakefront. And tragically, a number of people were killed.
Yeah, it was like a cool wave, heat wave weird thing happening there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, you want me to throw one your way?
All right.
All right, this is going to be an easy one. I know it is for you. Each of the Great Lakes has a Chicago street named after it. They are all east-west streets except A, Superior Street, B, Erie Street, C, Ontario Street, D, Huron Street, or E, Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, well, Michigan Avenue is a north-south street.
Now, at one time, there was a Michigan Street running east and west, and that's now Hubbard.
That is right. And Michigan Avenue, which is now the Magnificent Mile north of the river, was once called...
Oh, you might have got me on that one.
What oh, really?
It? Yeah, what was it?
Before the Michigan Avenue Bridge, the DuSable Bridge, okay. was built, it was Pine Street.
Pine Street. Nope. No. Look at you.
How about that?
Always learning something new. All right, you're next.
All right. Why do O'Hare Airport luggage tags bear the code ORD?
Orchard Fields.
I was going to give you my great fake answers. Right, let me give you the fake answers. Yeah, come on, because I worked on them.
Okay, go ahead.
A, an abbreviation for the airport's original name, Orchard Field. B, it stands for O'Hare Regional District.
Ooh.
Or D, it's the FAA abbreviation Oscar Romeo Delta, which are the names of the navigational beacons that direct pilots to the airport. Aren't those good?
If I didn't know the answer, I would have picked B. Because that makes sense. That
O'Hare
makes sense.
Regional District. Yeah, but it was named Orchard Field because there was apparently an apple orchard out there before they built the airport. And then, it was a small military airport. And they called it Orchard Field. And then it was changed, or as Mayor Richard J. Daley used to say, to O'Hara Airport. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right, which Chicagoan became the first American woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize for Peace when she did so in 1931? Was it A, Jane Addams, B, Clara Barton, or C, Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, I'd be almost certain it's Jane Addams.
It's Jane Addams, exactly. Yep. You're going to get all these right. You're next.
What did members of the Lake Zurich Golf Club do to prevent a railroad from being built across their golf course in 1912? A, they bought the railroad. B, they filed a lawsuit heard in the Supreme Court that is to this day used to govern eminent domain cases. Or C, they turned part of their country club into a cemetery.
Wow. This one I'm not sure about. B?
They filed a lawsuit?
Yeah.
No, actually it is C. Ah! They turned part of their country club into a cemetery.
That's amazing. The club
learned that cemeteries were, this little railroad was being built out there in Lake Zurich. It was supposed to take tourists from, it was called the Palatine Lake Zurich and Wakanda Railroad. It was supposed to take tourists up to the Chain of Lakes kind of area up there. But the club learned that cemeteries were hard to condemn. And to eminent domain. So the doctor members of the club secured four cadavers from the morgue, they had like a New Orleans style funeral and planted these cadavers out there in the middle of the golf course. And as of a few years ago, that little cemetery was still there, surrounded by a little fence. Lake Zurich Golf Club.
That's cool. All right. What was the most successful Chicago brewery in the 1800s? Because we had a few big ones here. Was it A, Old Chicago, owned by Pete Hand? Was it B, the Chicago Brewery, owned by Michael DeVersey? Or was it C, J&W Crawford's Chicago Brewery?
All right. I have no idea on this one whatsoever. But I do know that Michael DeVersey, named the person for whom DeVersey Avenue, on the north side is named, was a brewer. So I'm just going to guess it was DeVersey.
Yeah, you are correct. You are absolutely correct. Boom. Alderman, he was an alderman, had a street named after him, as you said. And St. Michael's Catholic Church in Chicago was built on the land donated to the parish by Michael DeVersey. And until 1885, St. Michael's was the tallest building in Chicago.
Oh, how about that? And I did know about his connection to St. Michael's. So this is an old town.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Michael's wall, the walls of St. Michael's actually survived the Great Fire. So St. Michael's is not really a building that completely survived the fire, but portions of it were in the path of the fire and did survive.
And the brewery did not. And I think this was the fire was a couple years after Michael DeVersey died.
Is that right?
Yeah, a couple of years after he died. Yep. Look at us with all the facts. Right. Next, you're up.
I mean, we're just outdoing you. People are tuning out in droves. They're like, these guys are obnoxious.
No, they're learning a lot. I love this.
All right. I hope that's right.
All right.
Okay. All right. Cows on Parade. Did we do this one last year?
Mm-mm, that doesn't sound familiar.
All right. Cows on Parade was a Chicago sensation in 1999. But the idea, you remember Cows on Parade, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. So there were these like fiberglass cows all around Chicago that different artists had painted. I mean, this was 1999.
Yeah.
So, we got to assume that some people listening here don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it was a sensation in 1999, but the idea did not originate in Chicago. What city did this cow art installation first? Was it A, Zurich, Switzerland, cheese, B, Madison, Wisconsin, America's Dairyland, C, Buenos Aires, Argentina, beef, or D, Perth, Australia, God knows why?
I'm going to say it was... I'm pretty sure it was Switzerland.
Yes!
Oh, yes!
Zurich, Switzerland.
All
there
right.
You go.
Okay, all right.
It was the year before they came to Chicago, 1998. And I believe a delegation from Chicago saw that in Zurich and thought this would be really cool for Chicago.
Very cool. All right. Elwood Blues listed this famous structure as his place of residence on his driver's license in the movie Blues Brothers.
I'm not going to jump in on this one, but I already know it.
Okay. A, Quality Transmission and Auto. B, Wrigley Field. C, the Hotel Zachary.
Right. Well, yeah, that was your two that are a little close to each other. Hotel Zachary didn't exist yet, but
right.
It was Wrigley Field.
Yes, it was.
It was just the address. Obviously, didn't say Wrigley Field, but
that's
if you know Chicago, you know that that address is not a residence.
1060 West Addison.
There you go.
Boom.
And the Hotel Zachary, the new Cubs owners who've completely transformed that neighborhood, for better or worse, in different people's opinions. They built the Hotel Zachary across the street. And do you know why it's called the Hotel Zachary?
Zachary, architect of Wrigley?
We are such nerds. Yeah, Zachary Taylor Davis.
Yes.
The architect of Wrigley Field.
All right, I'm going to give you the last one. And this is tied into WGN Radio and WGN TV because we're turning 100 this year. So Bob Trendler is his name. He was a music guy, and his name was Mr. Bob. He was the big top band leader on Bozo Circus from 1961.
I'm going to give away my age, but I remember watching Bozo with Bob Trendler and his big top band.
Yes, no question. No question. He was the big top band leader from 61 to 75, but what role did he serve for WGN before and after that until 1975? Was it A, record company executive from 1950 to 1975, B, musical director and conductor of the WGN Orchestra from 1935 to 75, or is it C, he did not work for WGN before Bozo Circus?
I have absolutely no idea. So when you say record company, that would imply that WGN had a record label, so I'm going to rule that out. WGN Orchestra, now there were a lot of radio orchestras. I've never heard of the WGN Orchestra, so I'm just going to say he did not work for WGN.
He was the musical director and conductor starting in 1935 for the WGN Orchestra.
That is fantastic. And when did the orchestra last? Until?
Well, it was 1935, and it kind of, it ended in the late 50s, early 60s, but he continued as the orchestra leader for Bozo Circus, so we can say his entire term as a musical director at WGN was during that time. And by the way, he retired in 75. He lived until 2018. He was retired for 43 years and died at age 99.
Boy, that's the life.
That's the life. I mean, for retirement? No kidding. And what's funny is he came from WLW in Cincinnati. So did Bob Bell. So did Wally Phillips. So did Frazier Thomas, so we really poached that station. We were building
my first television career was at WKRC in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there.
Not WKRP.
And I knew WLW very well.
Not WKRP, though.
No, WKRC.
Gotcha. All right, well, the Great Chicago Quiz Show debuts Thursday, April 21st on WTTW. I think we did a good job. We stumped each other a couple times here.
Yeah, that made it a little more challenging and fun. Absolutely.
It did. Thank you, Jeffrey. And I look forward to the show next week. And I look forward to being on the third season, for God's sake.
Okay, we'll make that happen.
All right, Jeffrey. Have a great one.
You too. Thanks for having me on.